And then I was just about addicted. I felt that there was no way I was going to ever get set free of alcohol. And I had this thought in my mind that the longer you stay in some type of addiction, the harder it is to break free.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a man who grew tired of the way he was living, and he wondered if there was something better.
My name is Arlen Melendez. I'm a member of the Reno Sparks Indian Colony, which is a federally recognized Indian tribe located in Reno, Nevada. I was born in 1947 in September, the month of September, on the Walker River Indian Reservation, which is about 90 miles southeast of Reno, Sparks, Nevada. I come from the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe, which was my mother's tribe. They're about 30 miles northeast of Reno. I'm actually a Paiute Indian. My father, part Mexican, his father actually was born or was raised in a place called Chihuahua, Mexico, which is there's a state and also a city called Chihuahua. So he was in a small town. My grandfather, who had passed away back in the late 1980s. So I'm actually three quarters Paiute and one quarter Mexican because of my grandfather had married a Paiute Indian. And he came from Mexico to work on the railroad and also do some agricultural work in California. Probably came up through El Paso, but I don't know too much about his history. You know, sometimes we hope that we would ask more questions when we were younger to learn where they were from. And then my grandmother, Nellie Taylor, was a full-blooded Paiute. The Paiutes, as you know, are the northern Paiutes are in California and Nevada. And so I'm a member of that tribe also. My tribe here, the Reno Sparks Indian Colony, is a tribe that was basically created, more or less, than many tribes that have been in one place for a long time. The Paiutes and the Washoes, the Washoe tribe is about 30 miles to the south of Reno, so we have neighboring tribes. They both have Aboriginal territory within the Truckee Meadows of Reno Sparks here. My tribe was created back in 1916 because people from all those different tribes came to Reno area for jobs. Many of the women did housework and many of the men worked labor jobs on the railroad and also in agriculture type farming. And so our tribe was actually camped along the Truckee River, which is a river that runs from Lake Tahoe, home of the Washoe, up on the Sierras. The river runs through Reno, Nevada. And it actually ends at the Pyramid Lake Indian Reservation. So the river runs all the way through to Reno. And the river is really important to many of the Paiutes and the Washoe tribes. I went to school here in public school. There is an Indian school about 30 miles in Carson City, Nevada, which many of my relatives went to. It was called the Stewart Indian School, and it was started in the late 1880s, and it has closed down now. It lasted about 100 years. It closed in 1980, and that's where my parents went to school, boarding school. They actually, my parents are Don and Sally Melendez, and they actually met at the Stewart Indian School. And my mother actually heard the gospel or the good news on the Stewart Indian School. She also actually came from the Pyramid Lake Indian Reservation, which a place called Nixon, where I was actually born, even though I was raised there when I was young, but I was born in the Walker River Hospital, which was the only Indian hospital 90 miles away. And so that's kind of a little bit history about myself. I attended schools here. I wanted to go to the Indian school, the boarding school, but my dad wouldn't let me. So I ended up going to public school, and I graduated high school and went to a junior college or a community college. And then when I was about 19 years old, I went into the United States Marine Corps. So I'm a veteran. I served 2 years. I served in Vietnam during that conflict in 1969 and 70. So I'm a veteran. Today, I kind of work with the Veterans Color Guard and some of our veterans group, honoring veterans. And so I was in the service for 2 years, got an honorable discharge, and came back home after that. I ended up going to Denver, Colorado after I got out of the Marine Corps. And just like many people, just went there, went to school there for a while, and just kind of really didn't have any direction. And so I just hung out. They had many Indian bars there, actually, in Denver. And so you can get a lot of trouble, and, you know, in the nightlife, they say, you know, sometimes you can get lost with no direction. And that's kind of what happened to me. In fact, I had a lot of challenges. I had heard about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, through my mother, who was the first Christian in my family. But I you know, like many young people, I never really, you know, I heard what she was saying, but I didn't really listen to her. I had kind of my own rebellious way and wanted to just do my own thing out in the world. And so when I was in Denver, I got married in Denver to a lady that's here. It didn't really work out, and I was only married for about 2 years. I did have a son, though, who I kind of lost track of. You know, I wasn't very responsible in those days. And that was in the 1970s, about 1971, I would say. And so I just wandered for a long time with no direction, really. And I came back to Reno, and I had a lot of problems with alcohol. And so for about 10 years after the Marine Corps and being in Denver for a couple of years and coming back to Reno, trying to work in different jobs and holding on to a job just for a while and then losing a job, and primarily because of drinking, not being able to make it to work and all those different things. And so it was almost as if, you know, there was nothing really new in my life. Nothing was really exciting. I mean, I seemed like I had to create my own excitement, because when I was in Vietnam, at least it was exciting there. It was dangerous, but it was exciting. And when you came back home to a dead place like Reno, it's almost as if everything was so dead that you had to create your own excitement. And many times we went to the bars and kind of raised heck there, you know what I mean? Ended up in jail for about 16 times. It's a good thing they expunged our records over time, because I'm not really proud of that. And when the Apostle Paul, when I read that, he said he's chief of the sinners, and that's how I felt, you know, not really worthy of anything because of my record, you know. And then I was just about addicted. I felt that there was no way I was going to ever get set free of alcohol. And I had this thought in my mind that the longer you stay in some type of addiction, the harder it is to break free. You know, it's almost like being in quicksand. The more you move, if you don't get out right at the very beginning, at some point it's almost impossible to get out. And that's how I always felt that alcohol was, that every day that you stayed in it, you were basically stuck in concrete, and you would never be able to get out of it if you thought like that. But, you know, I, like many Indian young men, you know, we played basketball. And on every Indian reservation, you'll have people who play basketball, you know, whether or not it's town teams or traveling all Indian basketball teams. So we did that for a lot of years. We traveled to Oregon. We had a traveling basketball team from here. We were in our 20s, so we were, you know, we played basketball tournaments in places like Klamath Falls and Chiloquin, Oregon, Hoopa, California, Susanville. We went all the way to Utah, to Salt Lake, you know. So we traveled to, they used to have national basketball tournaments, you know, men's basketball tournaments. We went down to Albuquerque one time, and we played there with a Nevada team, and we played against teams from all over the nation down there. It was an exciting time. But yet, you know, many people were still drinking, still had the same problem, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I got married again, you know, was divorced in the first marriage, and I got married again. And like many people, you think, well, if I just start with somebody new, things are going to work out. But you know, the things that we carry with us, unless you really deal with them, they carry into even a second marriage, or they don't really go away. They might seem like you can forget about them, but they're always there. And that's, you know, what later on I learned, that that's how sin is. It's always there unless you can eradicate it or get rid of it permanently, you know. And so so I worked a lot of jobs. I drove forklifts. I worked in warehousing. You know, I did a lot of labor work here and there. I worked in casinos. I washed dishes. I just about did everything. And then I even tended bar one time. I was a bartender over here, not too far from where I am right now, from the church here up on Kitsky Lane, just a few blocks up. They had an Indian bar. And one night, you know, I had been through a divorce, and I was thinking, and I was bound by alcohol, and I was thinking to myself, and it was about 1 a.m, and I was tending bar, and there was one Indian guy in the whole bar, and he was passed out on a stool, and I was a bartender, and they were paying me $20 per shift, right? So that was my job, and after I finished a shift, I'd walk home, and then I stayed in this old house, an old abandoned house that was on the reservation. I bought it actually for about $300. It was an abandoned house. You know, it was had dirt on the floor. I cleaned it out. My brother helped me, and I stayed there. But had an old wooden stove, and it was shelter. But the roof leaked, you know, in the winter, rain would come right through. And so I stayed there for a while, and then I got a job. And then I thought, well, you know, is this all there is to life? Am I just gonna? There's nothing more to look forward to than this. And then I was playing basketball one day, and this is where my life really changed. I had no direction. My drinking got so bad, I ended up in this detox center down the road. It's near the asylum, they call it. But they had a place there where they picked you up, and they sent you there because you were totally inebriated and you needed to dry out. You know, they sent you to this place there. And I ended up there, you know, and if you drink so much of alcohol, you get these DTs, these delirium tremors, you know, where your body is really shaking. And I got to that point, and I was thinking, boy, I'm kind of hit rock bottom here.
Sometimes people need to hit rock bottom before they're ready to look up. That's Arlen's story, and thankfully, as you'll hear next time, it doesn't end there. But what about you? Can you relate to what he's saying? My friend, let me assure you that there really is hope when we humble ourselves and put our trust in Jesus. That's where Arlen's story is headed. But that really shouldn't surprise us if we believe what God says. He tells us in the Bible, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That anyone includes Arlen, and it also includes me and you. Want to know more? Visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Arlen's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.